right. Well, let's get going and put the pedal to the metal. Hi. Because we got a lot to cover today. Very excited. So let's go through the announcements first, and then everybody can correct me and tell me what I forgot. So that'll be fun. Okay, so you guys know the tithe box is a little bird box in the back. That's where you give. You put your tithes, you put your offerings, and you do. Okay, we got tons of bread, literally bags and bags and bags, fresh loaves, baguettes. Grab it free. Take as much as you want. Take it all free in Jesus' name. Take it on the way out. You guys know to see that movie, The Overcomer. Please go see it. Support the Christian movies. Continue to pray for the folks who just got back baptized. They'll need it now more than ever. We're also going to have another baptism. Somebody else just has decided we've been ministering to on and off for a long time, and they really want to get baptized. So I'm very excited about that. I just cannot squeeze it in. And so they're going to wait. And so when we get back, we're actually going to do another baptism. And if anybody else would like to join this young lady in getting baptized, then please come see me or Pastor Gary, and we'll talk to you more about it. Prayer Sunday mornings here at 9 a.m. Men's Bible study, first and third Tuesdays at 6 p.m. Is it men's, women's? Ladies, okay. I was just testing you guys. Women's Bible study is at second and fourth Tuesdays. That's this Tuesday. Okay, living beyond yourself. Anything you want to say, Miss Erica? No, you're good. Yes. Yes.
Today, this week is kindness and gentleness together.
Okay, kindness and gentleness. Oh, I would just implore everyone to come. That one. Gentleness, yeah. Okay, so whosoever is youth group, 6:30 to 8:30 here. Experiencing God. I heard that's going really well. And so that's every Saturday, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. here at Home Fellowship Church. See Pastor Gary for more details. And then thank you for praying for our school and all the missionaries that work at that school. Continue to support North River Care Pregnancy Center and the banquet that's coming up. I think that we have a table. And so if anyone would like to go to that, you can see Jen or Gary, and I think we're going to have a little table there, and we're supporting this ministry and the outreach that they have on Thursday, October 10th. So if you'd like to go, please come see either Jen or Gary, and Laura or Laura, they'll give you more information. Also, I don't have time for this because we got a lot of ground to cover. So Gary, we've got some, this is from him to hand out to the congregation, so you can talk to them. About Paul next week, if you don't mind. We also have a Home Fellowship Church, our annual picnic, usually at testimony time. And so that's going to be Sunday, October 27th, when I get back. So meat's going to be provided. If you've never been out here, it's a fun time. We just bring a side or dessert. And depending on the weather, we'll either have service inside or outside. Outside is just kind of fun. We're hoping to be a little cooler. And we'll have bounce houses out there for the kids and little jousts, bounce house jousts for the older kids. And you just bring, glorious, just bring lawn chairs and blankets to sit on. It's always a great time. And so we would just encourage you to come out for that. I think Nate maybe give him devotional, I can't remember. We just got done with the book of James and Psalm 23 last week. Oh, Gary, you want to say something? Okay, come on down. Just want to make sure, is there anything else? Oh, if anybody else wants to, Betty is not, I just want to say one thing while he's coming up. Betty is not here today, but she did want to communicate. She wanted to say thank you for all your prayers. The doctor said he's blown away, but she is actually 100% cancer-free. And so praise the Lord. Doctor was surprised by that, but... So she's just so super excited and praising the Lord, and so do that. But if you want to support her in her walk for Alzheimer's, also you can see Leslie. I saw Leslie here somewhere, as Betty's not here. So if you want to still support that, you can see Leslie too. And I think that is it. Here.
Am I on George?
Nope.
George? Nope. No. We have the shuttle by our family. Come up. We want to pray you off before the script.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. All right, come on in, guys. Come on, Zeke Zuster. We can hear you.
Well, before
This one? Don't you love technology? Hey, here we go. Okay. Pastor, why don't you're leaving what,
yes,
Wednesday? Yeah, don't you love this? And it, here, Sophia.
Oh, there you go.
I'm going to untangle it. Yeah, well, you leave, what, Wednesday, right?
Wednesday or Thursday.
And okay, would you share a little bit about where you all will be going and just real brief, you know.
Okay.
Be brief because Pastor wants time to teach.
I do, yes. Okay, so we are going on with a guy by the name of David Guzik. And I first became aware of him when I was over in Germany. And so listened to his teachings for a long time. And so we're going together with them, and we're going to, on the footsteps of the Apostle Paul tour, so we're going to be going to places that Paul went. So we're going to be going to Greece, to Mars Hill. We're going to be going to Italy, to Rome. We're going to be going to Israel. We're going to be going to the Isle of Crete, to Malta, where he was shipwrecked. All these spots where he stopped, we've been saving up for many years. And so so it should be a fantastic time. The family's very excited about it. Pray for us. I was just telling somebody else this earlier, because for 2 weeks of it, we're stuck in 275 square foot rooms, all six of us. Twitch, twitch. So if you would pray just for peace in there, that'd be great. But it should be an exciting time, so really looking forward to it. And there's so much. If you ever doubted the Bible's true, once you start seeing all the archaeology, the historicity of it, it'll blow you away. So I'm excited about being refreshed.
Okay, well, let's join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Pastor and Lisa and their family, Lord, and all they mean to us. And we trust them to you over these next few weeks. Father, we ask that in the days between now and the leaving, that you'd help them with all the 1,001 details, getting a family of six ready, and having enough T-shirts and underwear and everything they need for the trip, the preparations for the school and the church, Lord. Let things go smoothly. Father, the trip itself, as Pastor mentioned, I ask that you'd give everybody a little extra patience on the trip, Lord God, to be willing to give to each other, Lord. Father, I do ask that it would be a teaching time that Pastor and Lisa and the boys as well would see where you had Paul serve, that they would bring things back that they can share with us to help us grow. But Lord, too, I ask that it would be a time for their family, Lord, for their family to be together, that they sometimes don't get here in town because they're busy serving us. And Father, I ask too that it would be a time of refreshment for them, Lord, a time of renewing energy, both physical, emotional, spiritual. Lord, let your hand be on them, protect them, and bring them safely back to us shortly. And Father, too, I would ask your hand of protection over this body while, yes, they're gone. We know that while the shepherd's away, that the enemy likes to attack. And so, Father, give each of us what we need to see that attack and resist that attack and serve each other in the pastor's absence. And we thank you in the name of our blessed Savior, Jesus. And all God's people said,
amen. Amen. Thanks, Gary. Thanks, guys. Well, I'm excited for you guys because I know he's got different folks lined up for teaching. I'm kind of sad that I'm going to be missing. I know Gary's going to be teaching. Lester's going to be teaching. I know they got communion. I think Mark's going to be teaching in there. I think Dana's going to be teaching the men's group. I hate that. That's not recorded. I hate that I'm not going to be able to hear that teaching. And I think, I don't know, sure, I think it's maybe Scott. But I would just encourage you to continue to come out and to hear what God has to say. Because the Holy Spirit speaks through all of us, not just me. He speaks to us all. And so I'm excited for you. So let's take a minute and let's open our Bibles to Psalm 19. Psalm 19. If you don't have a Bible, the kind-hearted Chris will grab a couple and bring them right to your door. Just raise your hand if there's not one in front of you. And we'll be happy to do that for you. All right. Psalm 19, and I'm going to pray just to make it today. Hey ho. Okay. Father, I want to say first, I want to say thank you, Lord, for who you are, Father. Thank you that you care about us, that you love us, Lord. I ask, Lord, I just humbly ask that you would speak to your people, Lord, because nothing said here is of any consequence unless it's empowered by your Holy Spirit. So I'm asking you to organize my thoughts, my words. There's too much to get through, Lord God. I know that. So please organize it, orchestrate it. Help me to only say that which you want me to say, not too much or not too little, Lord God. And help us to be receptive to anything that you have to speak directly to us. Let us be ready to hear from you and to hear your voice as we study your precious word. And we ask this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen, amen, and amen. So today's teaching is Psalm 19. And when I said that I was going to teach this, because I was thinking ahead, because I won't be here for some weeks, I thought to myself, okay, well, I'll just teach Psalm 23, Psalm 19, and zippity-doo-dah, and I just moved on. Now, as I was studying Psalm 19, my eyes started to twitch, because I realized, as I'm studying Psalm 19, I'm thinking to myself, if you've ever read Psalm 19, there's like three-hour sermons in this one psalm. And so as I started, I started to get kind of overwhelmed. I don't know if you've ever been there. You kind of like shut down. You know what I mean? It's like, oh no, you got yourself into too much here. So I'm going to really put the pedal to the metal, so to speak. Okay. Because since there's such a big gap, I want to get through it. And so if I don't call on you normally, I love the interaction. You guys share what God is speaking in you and through you. I love it. But today I'm probably going to be, if I don't call on you, please don't be offended. We're cruising on through, okay? If God really has something to say, please raise your hand. But otherwise, we're going to hear what he has to say in his word. Chris, can you hit that light just for 1 second? Thanks. The Psalm 19 is such an amazing psalm, and I just, God is speaking is what I entitled Psalm 19. And in this psalm, you're going to see that God speaks primarily in this psalm, the psalmist, probably David who wrote this, looking up at the stars as a shepherd, you know, before he became king. You know, when I read this psalm, it talks about God speaking to us in this psalm three ways. Now, God speaks more ways, but this is what this psalm is sharing with us. God speaking to us three ways. The first way that God is going to speak to us in this psalm is God is going to be speaking. God is speaking in nature. We're going to read that in just a minute. In verses 1 through 6, you're going to see the heavens declare the glory of God. God is speaking through creation. God is speaking through his design, through his power, through his eminence. He's speaking through nature. The second thing is you're going to see in verses roughly 7 to 11 that God is speaking in his word. God is speaking. If you're ever like, why doesn't God speak to me? God is speaking to you. He's speaking to you in nature. He's speaking to you in his word. And that's what verses 7 through 11 is going to say. The third section is probably that, like I would say 12 to 14, where God is speaking in our soul, where he's speaking directly to our hearts. And we're going to see that in verses 12 to 14. When we look at that, we're going to see three things when we look at this psalm. We're going to see if God is speaking in nature, we're going to see that God is speaking at, you know, if we look upward, if I look upward at the skies, I'm hearing the Lord, the heavens declaring the glory of God. So if I look downward at the scriptures and at God's precious holy word, I'm going to see that he's speaking to me there. And if I look inward, the Bible says, you know, if I look inward at my heart, I can see that God is trying to do a work. You know, his word is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, able to divide soul, spirit. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of your heart. He's trying to get to your heart with his word. So God is speaking in all these ways. In the skies, God speaks to us in his glory. In his word, God speaks to us in his greatness. And in the soul, God speaks to us in his grace. And so we're going to take on this first section right now. in Psalm chapter 1. Excuse me, Psalm chapter 19, verse 1. It says this. It starts off, the heavens declare, I'll read maybe verse 1 and 2. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hand. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they display knowledge. I like that verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God. The Hebrew word, therefore, declare is sephar. And it means to mark, to tally, to record, like as a scribe, and then to intensely speak it out. So what that's saying in Hebrew is the heavens are like God's declaration, like a writings from him that he's written down, the creation of all things, the design, and he's pouring it out. He's letting it go, just like a scribe, and it's being spoken to us. And what's being spoken to us is God's immenseness, the immenseness of God, or the engineering of God, the artistry of God, the design of God. And when we see this design, when we look up at the stars and we see these things, we realize, well, if there's such a vastness, such an immenseness, such a design, we're going to have to say that there's a designer, okay? If somebody came across and found this watch, this Cartier watch on the beach, first you'd be pretty lucky. Anyway, but secondly, nobody would find this watch and think, oh, gosh, I wonder if, you know, if the sand over millions of years, you know, and melted the heat, melted, formed the glass and the intricate gears of this watch and the little writings on there. I think the sand and the seashore and the wind and, you know, maybe a crab etched it in there. No one would think that. No one would think that that's a possibility. But when we see the design of our world and our creation and the heavens declaring the glory of God, we think of a designer. No one would look at the Egyptian hieroglyphics or the Syrian cuneiform, right, and the alphabets and the writings and think, I wonder if just by spontaneous combustion or something, those little impressions were made and they formed kind of a pattern, a sequence, and an alphabet. That just must have happened over, you know, millions and billions and trillions of years. And it happens to be an alphabet that makes sense. But nobody would think that, right? I like what if I watch people coming up in their cars, okay? All right, you guys are reading that slide. Okay. Okay. So people are driving up in your car. You guys drove here in your car today, okay? Scott, what car do you have? Nice. Now, if I see Scott and Delana coming up in their Honda, sporting around, they're playing their worship on the way, their warm-up for worship, and they're coming in here, when I see them, I don't think, wow, that is amazing how that Honda just sort of oozed up out of the asphalt in our parking lot and formed this car that they could get with the air conditioning and the engine and the electron. You have the electronic windows or the, yeah, nobody has the roll downs anymore. Anyway, so no one would think that. If you would think I was an idiot, okay? But everybody, okay. But we couldn't have been created by an intelligent designer. We had to just pop up out of ooze and over millions of years. So listen. I like what Sir Frederick Hoyle, the English astronomer and mathematician at the Institute of Astronomy in Cambridge, who actually coined the term Big Bang Theory, once said. He said, the odds of even the simplest cell forming by chance are like believing that a tornado sweeping through a junkyard could assemble a Boeing 747 from all the materials in there. Now, obviously, that would never happen. The person who discovered DNA, I have his name written down somewhere in my Bible. I couldn't find it. So obviously the Lord didn't want me to share it. But he actually, it was so complex, it was so intelligently designed that he had to say that there was a creator. But he doesn't believe in a creator God because you know why? He doesn't want to bend the knee to the creator God. And so he said, he figured, it can't be God, so it must be aliens that designed that. And so that's what he thought. Now, DNA is a blueprint of all life. It's the densest storage system known in the universe. The DNA information, the size of a head of a pin, would fill an entire Webster dictionary stacked to the moon 500 times just on the head of the pin. Okay? I remember I went to this conference. This was many years ago. I'm already going off book. Dang it. I went to this conference, and the Lord called me to go there. Okay? I was a young Christian. I think I was at the singles group at the time, running the Christian singles group. I think Dana was there at that time. And God called me to go to Austria, and I didn't even know why I was going. I just knew he spoke, and I went. Okay? And there was a conference. Don't laugh at me. You can't laugh at me. It was a conference of the world's most intellectual people, Christians. Okay?
And you were there.
And I was there. Your pastor barely made it out of high school. And so I'm listening. Now, I didn't even know who these people were. Now, those of you guys who know intellectual, this is what I was listening. I mean, there were people from Labrie, Switzerland, professors coming out. There were people from the head of the department at MIT, mathematics, quantum physics. You know what his subject was? No kidding. Seeing Christ clearly in quantum physics. Okay, the only thing I know about quantum is Scott Bakula and Quantum Leap. That's my whole... So I'm trying to grasp. So he had me there. He did speak to me, not through that specifically, but he did speak to me while I was out there. There were people there. I think it was F.F. Bruce who was out there. A.E. Wilder Smith. Anybody familiar with him? Okay, I don't know. I can't remember now if it was him or so long ago or his son. Anyway, A.E. Wilder Smith. His wife is Beate Wilder Smith. Anyway, he was at the time one of the top 10 or top 12. Intelligent men on the planet, okay? And he has, like, he runs this whole department where he's got tons of chemists and doctors and biologists, doctorates underneath him. And so he has at least 3 or 4 doctorate degrees, okay? Chemical engineering, anyway, this whole thing. So he runs with people like, you know, Carl Sagan and Doc. He knows all these people, and they would just talk. Because I guess if you're really that bright, you have to find somebody other than, you know, like me to talk to. And the story goes that he was saying to Sagan, Carl Sagan, he's like, Sagan, you get the government. They're giving you all these millions and millions and billions of dollars to go out and to listen, you know, to try to find life elsewhere. He goes, how are you even going to know? This is A.E. Wilder Smith. How are you even going to know if that, you know, when you're listening, he said, Smith, I'll tell you how we're going to know. We're going to know because we're going to hear back an ordered sequence. You're going to see, and this was back when, you're going to see an intelligent design there, an ordered sequence. You're going to see, and it'll be very clear that there is intelligent life and that there is, and he said, okay, he goes, Sagan, stop right there. He's like, let me tell you something. I'm trying to remember the story. He said, come look through my electron microscope, okay, and I will show you an ordered sequence in DNA and in base pairs. Your mind is going to be blown. You're going to see proof positive of ordered sequences in everything that you cannot deny. And you can stop looking up there because you can found the intelligent designer right here. And he said that Carl Sagan knew exactly what he was talking about. And as much as he badgered him, just come, just look, let me share. Look, he would not do it. And he never did it. When I read some of these things, like in verse 2, day after day, it says, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they display knowledge. It says, day after day, they pour forth speech. The word there in Hebrew is navah, and it means literally, it means flowing out. Like some of your Bibles might say utters. That's probably not the best translation. It utters speech. It pours forth. It means it bubbles over. Like if you're boiling and it, you know, boils over on the stove. That's where my reference is. Anyway, boils over on the stove or it gushes out. And that's the word there. That's nava. And it gushes out refreshing waters of God's revelation. That's what it's saying. The heavens do that. Now, I don't know if you've ever been in a spot. Before I was saved, I can't say that I came to Christ by looking up at the stars, but I can say that God spoke to me very clearly. I remember one day at Outer Drive, I went outside. I grew up in the church, but I was never saved. I was just a churchgoer. There's a big difference. There's a lifetime of difference. That was a whole change of life. So I was just a churchgoer, and I think I was in my 20s or mid-20s there. And I remember going out, and I was reading all this New Age stuff and trying to search out everything I could. And anyway, I looked up at the stars, and I said, you know, God, are you out there? And it's such an incredible story that we don't have time for. But I felt like the Lord really spoke to my heart. And now it wasn't, I didn't say, oh, God, Jesus died on the cross and for me, and I need to be born again. Now, that wasn't it. I wasn't saved, but I felt like really like the Lord kind of spoke to me. You know, even as I'm looking up at the vast heavens and the stars and the sky, and I'm blown away by it. It was a particularly clear night, and it was so vast, and I was just like, wow. And it caused me to go back and to seek out him more. Years later, I ended up getting saved. But it says, I'll say Spurgeon said this, though all the preachers on earth should grow silent and every human mouth should cease from publishing the glory of God, the heavens above will never cease to declare and proclaim his majesty and glory. They are forever preaching, for like an unbroken chain, their message is delivered from day to day and from night to night. Verse 3 in Psalm 19 says, there is no speech where their voice is not heard. And that just means that the heavens communicate God's glory regardless of our culture, regardless of our position on the globe, regardless of our socioeconomic condition, regardless of our language. God is speaking to everybody if we'll just but listen. It says their voice goes out, in verse 4, into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. It says, their voice goes out into all the world, into all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. When I think of that, and when I hear that, I think of that Romans verse. This is in Romans chapter 1, verse 20. And I don't have time to get into it. You can listen to, I think we got about 5 teachings on the book of Romans chapter 1. But it says, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that people are without excuse. In Romans chapter 1, verse 20. I don't know if you've ever seen anything like this, but 2 times I remember being out. I used to, especially before I was saved, honestly, I would look out at the heavens. I would go out there constantly to the beach, to Siesta Key Beach. And even there, it was nothing compared to, there's this tiny little place called Bayfield, Wisconsin. It's literally like a hiccup town in Wisconsin. Very small, no disrespect to Bayfield, Wisconsin. But it's very, very small. I remember going out there, and one time when I was out in the middle of the seas on a liner, late at night, if you go, I would go out in the front part of the boat, and they would shut down all the lights after about 2 or 3 a.m. I have never seen more stars in all my life. There were zillions of stars. Now, I didn't actually count them. I don't even know if zillion's a real word, but you get the picture. And I just thought, oh my goodness, the vastness of the Lord. I was literally blown away by it. I don't even know how to speak it or to share it, but I'm telling you, it spoke to me. Now I more get it, you know, from his word or directly into my heart, but God speaks. Aristotle said this, should a man live underground and there converse with the works of art and mechanism, and should afterwards be brought up into the open day and see the glories of the heaven and earth, he would immediately pronounce them the works of such a being as we define as God. When you see the things of the sun, and you may not know this, I don't even have time to go through this, so I'm going to zippity-doo-dah through it. I'm probably going to skip 90% of what I want to say. But for those of you who don't know, I'm actually going to start with this one. The earth rotates, you guys know, 365 times a year around the sun, right? If that was changed, and let's say what happens if it just did 36 times instead of, there would be, the days and nights would be 10 times longer. The freezing and the heating would cause it to be that there could not even be life on this planet. The Earth's atmosphere we breathe is 79% oxygen, 19% nitrogen, and 1% variant gases, okay? Why so perfect? Well, if it was just, what if it was just 50-50? Well, if it was 50-50, first off, you wouldn't be breathing. You'd be collapsing face down on the floor, dying. And then secondly, the first time you lit a match, we'd all be incinerated. So the Earth, just so you know, now think about this. This Earth that we're on that we take for granted, I'm sitting here having a Bible study, right? I'm sitting here on my stool with my Bible. The Earth right now is currently rotating on its axis at 1,000 miles an hour. We're spinning right now, 1,000 miles an hour. I don't know if you know this too, but the Earth is orbiting around the sun. You guys know that, right? Okay. That's no news for everybody. But you know it's orbiting at 67,000? So this thing's whipping around in a circle and then going around the sun. And yet, here I'm sitting. Okay. Oh, let me go back. Now, you might not know. Okay, the sun is also rotating. Did you know that? Like, I thought when I grew up, like, sun just was stood still. It's actually rotating. It's spinning too. This giant star, I was going to get it. How much it's losing. We don't have time for that. Anyway, the bottom line is it's rotating about every 30 days, 27, 30 days. The whole sun is spinning, okay? And the sun is not standing still, just so you know. I thought it was. It's not. It's actually moving, the sun, 550,000 miles an hour. So the sun is moving 550,000 miles an hour with us along with it, orbiting all these planets, orbiting the sun that's moving, and it's going to make one orbit around the Milky Way galaxy about every 250 million years. And here we are having a Bible study, sitting down, and I'm drinking some coffee out of a little plastic cup. Actually, I'm not drinking coffee. It's water, and embarrassing myself in front of you. What?
I don't like coffee.
What? Okay, let's move on. It goes on to say, in the heavens he pitched a tent for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming forth from his pavilion, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises in the heavens and it makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is hidden from its heat. And David is just using poetic language here just to describe the rising and the settings of the sun. And it's a beautiful thing. So we see here in this first part that God is speaking to us through nature, through the skies, through the heavens, and he's doing it powerfully. You know what? Has anybody ever seen the movie? I don't even think it was done by Christians, but it was pretty good. Have anybody seen the movie Privileged Planet? Raise your hand. What? Oh, my goodness. Oh, my gosh. You're making me twitch. All right. You guys, I think it's on Netflix. I'm not sure. I watched it many years ago. Privileged Planets. Not even done by Christians, okay? But you're just what it takes to sustain life. In fact, is Neely here? Neely, okay, I didn't see Amanda Passion and Josh. Okay, but a Privileged Planet. Yes, Privileged Planet. We have one in the Loner Library, but Neely, if you ever have a day where you're not doing anything and Josh and Amanda ask you to step in, grab it from the Loner Library under Intelligent Design. It's part of a three-part series, and play that for the teens. Honestly, powerful, powerful. Okay. It goes on to say, now it goes from talking, okay, God is speaking in nature, speaking to the skies, he's speaking to me, but now he's going to be speaking to me. I look upward, and he's doing that. Now I look downward at his word, and he's speaking to me through the word of God. He's speaking to me through the word of God. Now, the Bible says this in 2 Peter. Now, we live in a weird time, honestly, where people have a very low view of Scripture. Can I just be honest with you? This church is not the normal church. Well, you say, there's probably lots of jokes there. However, most people, even most churches, don't have a high view of Scripture. It's ridiculous. It's sad. Jesus had a super high view of Scripture, and the Bible had a high view of Scripture. Look in 2 Peter 1:20-21 says, above all, he says, above all, You guys have to understand, you must realize that the prophecy of Scripture never came from the prophet's own understanding or interpretation or from human initiative. No, these prophets were moved by the Holy Spirit as they spoke from God. This book is incredible. All intertwined. As you read it, you know, you can go through it. And if you just want to put a question, this is what I used to do in my Bible when I was first saved. I would read it, I start off in the New Testament, pick a book of the Bible. If I didn't get to something I understood, I put a question mark or something that looked like an apparent contradiction. And I say apparent because you'll find later that it's not. I would put question marks. And then over the years, and my book was filled with a lot of question marks. Now it's filled with a lot of scribble marks. Now it's wasted space. If you see my Bible, there's like, oh, I wasted all that space with scribble marks. But you find, oh yeah, now I get it. Now I see it. Oh, this fits there. You will see that that happens. And all I have, well, not all, but most of them are all scribbled out. God's word is amazing. It says in these next verses here, if you look at it in your Bible, it starts off each thing. This is talking about God speaking to us through the word. It says the law of the Lord. He uses different words, but the same thing. The statutes of the Lord, the precepts of the Lord, the commands of the Lord, the fear of the Lord, the ordinance of the Lord. And it keeps saying of the Lord, of the Lord. Why do you think David does this when he's talking about the word? Why does he want you to know that? Because it's not brain surgery. Absolutely, Nathan. Because it's of the Lord. He wants you to know the source, Yahweh, Jehovah. This is the source of where it's coming from. This is not an accident. These aren't just guys writing something that helps us with our character. That's what I thought when I went to church and I wasn't saved. I thought, oh, these are good stories to help our character. Oh, no. This is so much more. This is the only book that will read you as you read it. There is power in the Word of God. Listen, it starts off, and take a sip here. It starts off in verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul or converting the soul. And I love that. The law of the Lord is perfect. That word perfect in Hebrew is tamim. And that just means whole. It means complete. Check this out. This is the same word for perfect, okay? It says, as for God. Oh, let me hit this light. Sorry, Chris, for just a second. It's hard to see these next few slides. As for God, his way is perfect. The Lord's word is flawless, and he is a shield who takes refuge in him. Listen, once you understand the law of the Lord, the word of God is perfect. It's flawless. It's whole. It's complete. You're going to see things in a whole new light. You know, that's why I don't just come here and tell you stories or take one Bible verse and tell you a little story, tell you funny stories, high five, or get you all hyped up. I want you to know the word of God in its entirety. Listen, Acts 20:27, Paul said this to the people he was speaking to, and this is my heart too. He says, I haven't hesitated to proclaim to you the whole counsel of God. I want you to know all of it. Listen, that's where you could get into a cult and you get people giving you bad teachings. If you don't know the whole counsel of God, it's easy for you to be manipulated. The Bible says this in 2 Timothy 3:16. I don't know about what your Bible says, but mine says, how much? All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what's wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong and it teaches us to do what is right. This word is so precious. You know, that's why the enemy wants to keep you away from this book. Why do you think, you guys take an experience in God, why do you think it's so difficult for you to do that homework? Why do you think that's so difficult? Why do you think it's so hard to pick up this book when you get home? Because the enemy knows it's going to wash over your mind. It's going to change your thinking. It's going to change your pattern of life. It's going to change the way you operate in every area of your life. It will, if you will let the Word of God do that. But you have to make that choice. Honestly, if I can make you, I would, but that really wouldn't be very godly, would it? It says, the law of the Lord is perfect in reviving the soul. And that word, reviving here, thank you so much. Some of your other words might say converting the soul or restoring the soul. That's all true. It means it's the word in Hebrew is shuv, and it basically means to return, to repair, to restore, to revive, to convert. And that's what the Word of God is for. It's the exact same word that we just read in Psalm 23 last week. He leads me beside still waters and he restores my soul. Listen, the law of the Lord is perfect in doing that. Listen, you're disconnected from God. If you're not born again, you're sitting here. We love you, but you are disconnected from the Lord. You have to get reconnected. You must be born again. That's what the Bible talks about. And so he can restore your soul. And the law of the Lord will tell you that. That you need to be converted. That you need to be saved. Whatever you want to say. I love how Galatians 3:24 says, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ that we must be justified by faith. In other words, even if I looked at the Ten Commandments, the Ten Commandments say that I need to be saved. If I look and says, and I look at that mirror, the Ten Commandments, okay, thou shalt not lie. Have you ever told a lie? Yes. What does that make me? A liar. Have you ever stolen anything? Yes. What does that make me? A thief. Have you ever lusted after anyone? Yes. What does that make you? Oh, Jesus said you'd be an adulterer at heart if you're lusting after someone. Oh, boy. Okay. Have you ever used God's name in vain? You know? Yes. Well, that's called blasphemy, and that's very serious. You're taking the Creator God who gave you life and breath and eyeballs and taste buds, and you're using, you know, his name to express poop. Now, I'm only at 4, and already the law is perfect at converting my soul. I think I'm a pretty good person, but according to the law right now, God's standard, if I look at you, I think I'm pretty good. But when I look at the Lord and I look at his standard, I'm a lying, thieving, adulterer at heart, and a blasphemer, and I'm going to face God at Judgment Day. I need Jesus! The law of the Lord is perfect in converting the soul. I'm going to skip that one. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing from the Word of God. It's perfect in reviving the soul, restoring the soul. The next one says, still in verse 7, the statutes of the Lord. Some of your Bibles might say something else. Testimonies is what it means. The statutes of the Lord, the witness of the Lord, the testimonies of the Lord are trustworthy. And they are trustworthy, kids. You know what? I like this. The statutes or the testimony of the Lord is trustworthy. Can I tell you what? People will listen to anything and anyone except for the Lord and the Bible. Do you ever notice that? People will listen to anything. Anything. But if you start talking about Jesus and the Bible, oh, I don't need that stuff. Weird, isn't it? Listen, the Bible says this in 1 John 5:9. We accept human testimony. No problem, right? But God's testimony is greater because it is the testimony of God. Listen, you'll take man's testimony all the time and listen to what they have to say. How about you listen to what God has to say? How about you apply that to your life? Trust him. You can trust him. They're trustworthy. Have you ever done a trust fall? Whose word are you going to trust? Listen, you can. I like this little cartoon. I thought this was kind of funny. Okay. I love the little guy right here looking back. Who am I going to trust? Okay. You can trust the Lord and his word, or you can trust Satan and the world and the system. You choose who you want to trust when you fall back. I don't know about you. You choose whatever you want. As for me and my house, I'm going to choose the Lord. He has proven himself true for years. It says that the testimonies of the Lord, they're trustworthy. Psalm 145:13 says, your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Your domain endures for all generation. The Lord is trustworthy in some of his promises. Is that what it says? All his promises. And he's faithful in all he does. Turn in your Bibles to Jeremiah 17, if you could hit the lights. Turn in your Bibles to Jeremiah 17. I'm going to wait. I want to hear pages rustling. Don't be lazy now. Jeremiah 17. Or you can hear computers. I still have that little iPad going. That's fine. Jeremiah chapter 17. Who are you going to trust? You can trust in man. You can trust in human testimony. You can trust what God has to say. Jeremiah chapter 17. It's right after Isaiah, Psalms. In the middle of your Bible. Isaiah chapter 17. Go down to verse 5, I think. Yep, Jeremiah 17, down to verse 5. Oh, I forgot my knife. Okay, and let's start here. Oh. In fact, is the microphone working? No.
Yep.
Okay. One of you guys just mind reading that? Just starting in verse 5, and you're going to see who you're going to trust in. This is just underline trust when you see it.
This is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who depends on flesh for his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. He will be like a bush in the wastelands. He will not see prosperity when it comes. He will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives.
Now listen to this. Now I want you to contrast. So this is why I had to use this picture. I couldn't fit it all on the screen. But picture one, as far as the things of God and the life of God, one is dry and empty and dead. And then one is going to be well-watered and life-giving. And that's God. Sorry, continue reading, please. Now here's, but, it says,
but blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. He will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit.
Good. Thank you. That's what trusting in the Lord will do for you. In good times or bad times, God's word will always come through. Back in Psalm 19, it goes on to say, it says, the law of the Lord is perfect in reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy. We just talked about that. And it says, it makes wise the simple. And that word wise in Hebrew is shachem. And that just doesn't mean talking about like man's wisdom. That talks about skilled in God's manner of living. Listen, when you focus on the Lord and you allow his word to penetrate you, man, woman, whatever, it says, this is what it says in Psalm 119, 98 to 100. Your commands are always with me and you make me wiser. That's the same word. Wiser than my enemies. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. I have more understandings than even all my elders. Listen, there's no reason, so you can be much more wiser than us, than Gary and I, because you've got the word of God. It makes wise the simple. You know that word, makes wise the simple? I kind of consider myself a simple person. Now, in the Hebrew way, though, the Hebrew word for simple, it's kind of funny. It's a picture. And, oh, God bless you. God bless you again. When it says making wise the simple in verse 7, the Hebrew word there is pethay, and it means to be an open door. It makes wise the simple. Like you ever heard somebody say, oh, I'm so open-minded. Can I tell you? That's what the world... Oh, I'm so open-minded. Can I tell you something? That's not always a good thing. The culture is going to tell you that. Okay, now we're getting this on video now. So I'm saying sometimes it's okay to be closed-minded. What? Making wise the simple. Picture this. The simple is saying, hey, I'll just take in anything. What? Just whatever, let it come in, come out as it pleases. Well, no, that's not a good idea. Don't let anything in your mind, in your heart. okay, I'm a married guy. Somebody wants to date me. Well, I need to be open-minded. Right? I'm just saying. What? Somebody wants to give me a bribe to say I have some money. Give me some money. Make a big donation to say something I don't really believe is true about the Lord. Well, what's the big deal? We won't record that day. It'll just be you guys hearing it. Shouldn't I do it? You say, Pastor, how could you even say something like that? Well, I want to be open-minded, right? No, I think I'm going to shut the door to that. Listen, the Bible makes wise the simple. Sometimes people say some really wonderful things about me, and it's not me, it's the Lord, what he's done in me and through me. That's the wisdom. It's him. It's me trusting in him, learning to do that, and then it ferreting out in a life. You can trust him with your finances. You can trust him in your relationship, your marriage, your kids, your work. You can trust him. And he'll come through for you. He will if you trust him. He'll make the wise simple. And you know what? Shut the door on some of that stuff. You don't need to take it all in. The Bible will say, you know what? Nah, I don't think so. You'll be able to hear teaching. Don't say that. Okay. There's a lot of bad teaching out there, a lot of bad teaching and stuff, and you can, okay, maybe I'll just leave it. You'll be able to identify it very quickly. I remember talking with Lester and having dinner, and we're just talking about, because he loves the Word. He loves the Word. And so we're talking about it. He's like, you know, we're talking about different, some bad teaching and stuff like that. And he's just like, you know what? I don't think there's anything you've said I've really, really disagreed with. You know what? And that's so uncommon today. Honestly, I was thinking the same thing. But one of the reasons is because we both love the Word. It'll have you shut the door on some of this wacky stuff that you see out there. It goes on to say, flooring it now. It goes on to say in verse 8, it says, the precepts of the Lord are right. The principles, that's what that means. The truths of the Lord is in verse 8, are they're right. And that word in Hebrew just means the right direction, the right path. They're going to lead you down the right path. The Bible says this is what it'll do for you. This is a place in the Netherlands, okay? They've got another one in Poland that's, they paved it, but they've got phosphor, and it lights up at night. And so this is a bike path, but what happens is the darker it gets around you, the more that path lights up. That's what the Bible does for you. The Word of God is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, step by step by step. If you will learn to trust him, if you will take the time to take this in, it's going to light it. And the darker your mind gets and the darker this world gets, the more you let that light, that little lamp of the Lord, go step by step by step and light your path as you go. You can trust him. Does that make sense? Listen, this is what it says. The opposite is also true. Listen, Psalm 119, 127, and 128. Danger, wrong way, turn back. The Bible says, because I love your commandments more than gold, more than pure gold, I consider all your precepts right. And I hate every wrong path. I can know the difference. If the world says this is okay and God says it's not, you know what? It's not okay. Now I say that and people think, well, you're a little bit zealous there, Pastor. No, I'm not. I'm just reading what it says. Sorry. Lights, Chris. Thank you. It says the precepts of the Lord are right, or the right path in verse 8. It says giving joy to the heart. And I love what the Bible says here. Thanks. Jeremiah, in the book of Jeremiah 15:16, he says, I discovered your words and I devoured them. They're my joy and my heart's delight, for I bear your name, O Lord, O God Almighty. Listen, man, if you love Jesus, you'll love his word. It's not going to be something that tastes like shredded wheat to you. If it is, right, something's wrong. Something's wrong. Ask God to make it right. It should taste like, I don't know, peach cobbler, you know, with the real cream in it or something. Banana split with drizzled chocolate syrup. And anyway, you get the idea. The Bible says this. In Nehemiah 8:12, that they were coming back, the God's people were coming back into Israel, and after being, you know, captives for 70 years, and they came back, and Ezra, they found the word of God, and Ezra started reading it to them. And as they read, first it says they all started weeping when they realized what the word said. And then Nehemiah said, hey, this is not the time to cry. It's good that you're repentant because you didn't know what you were doing wrong, but now you do, so rejoice. Rejoice that you're hearing the word. And they said this in Nehemiah 8:12. The people went away to eat and drink at a festive meal and to share gifts and food and to celebrate with great joy. And here's why. Because they heard God's word and understood it. Woohoo! That's why we teach verse by verse. Chapter by chapter, book by book. Precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. Then it says the commands of the Lord are radiant. The commands of the Lord are radiant. Now listen, if you're looking at this thing like, oh, I got to obey the Lord, what he says here, I got to be faithful to my wife. You know, I got to be respectful to my parents. I got to work hard unto the Lord and not be lazy. You're missing the whole point. Listen, 1 John 5:3 says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are burdensome. So if they're this big, heavy thing walking around, ask God to reorient your mind. It happened to me sometimes. Ask God, get my heart right. It's not right with you. I'm seeing serving you right now as a chore. Reading your word is a pain in the butt. I don't have time. That means I've got the problem. John 14:21, you guys, I think we'll be memorizing this in your Experiencing God course. The Bible says, whoever has my commands and obeys them, they are the one that loves me. And the one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to him. When you obey God's commands, man, he's going to show himself to you. That is awesome. Sorry, Chris, lights. Thanks. The commandments of the Lord are radiant. And that word in radiant in Hebrew is just bar. It means clear. Giving light to the eyes. Or I love how the New Living Translation, if you have that in verse 8, instead of giving light to the eyes, it gives insight for living. I love that. Verse 9 says, the fear of the Lord is pure. That reverent respect of God is pure. And it endures forever. Listen, the Bible says, how can a young man or a woman keep his way pure? I would say that would apply to both. By living according to your word, with my whole heart I have sought you. Don't let me wander from your commandments, for I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Psalm 119, 9 to 11. Listen to this. Every word of God is flawless. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Do not add to his words or he'll rebuke you and prove you a liar. Proverbs 30, 5 to 6. Every word of God is flawless. And it endures forever, the Bible says right here. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. I love Isaiah 40, verse 8. It says, the grass will wither and the flowers will fall, but the word of our God is going to endure until the 2000s. Listen, the world is not going to go the same way as the word. That's just the bottom line. If you would have said, okay, now, if you would have honestly said to me, as a rational dude who got saved about in his 30s, well, 20 years ago. Oh, my gosh. Oh, that was painful. Anyway, so 20 years ago, that we'd be having a discussion saying that you can choose what, that there are no genders, that male and female, you can just be whatever you want to be. I'm a male, I'm a female, I'm a donkey. I would have laughed, and if you would have said that this is what it's actually going to be like, I would have said, you're one of those crazy Christians. You're way out there. What? It endures forever. Here, I hit the light six. It says, the ordinance of the Lord are sure. They're sure. The ordinances of the Lord are sure. Listen, the Bible says this in Luke 21:33. He says heaven and earth. This is what Jesus said. So if you don't even believe me at this point, or you don't even believe the Bible, here, how about you believe what Jesus says? Jesus said that heaven and earth are going to pass away, but my words will never pass away. They're eternal. It's enduring forever. Do you get it? I want you to think about what... Oh, there's so much to say, but that's... We're going to have to wrap it up. And then what's... And then he goes on these last few verses. And you're going to see here, this is the reward. It says, what's they? It says, goes on to say, verse 10, they are more precious than gold. The they is the word. So the word is more precious than gold. Than gold. Than much pure gold. So the word is our greatest possession that we could ever have. If somebody came in here right now and offered me a check for $10 million... or $100 million. No kidding. So I guess it's on Facebook now and on our website, the videos. Somebody came and offered me $100 million right now. I just could never read the Bible again or listen to any Bible teachings. Well, I'm a little older. Would that really kill me? You know what? I would turn it down flat. Because the Bible to me is more precious than gold. You can keep it. And that's not a trying to be look cool. That's a reality. I know what it's done for my life. You have no idea. I would be a terrible human being. I would. Without Jesus. Without his word. Terrible parent. Terrible husband. Terrible pastor. Terrible everything. Terrible friend. Everything. Terrible counselor. Terrible. Get the idea? Terrible. Somebody says, you're terrible now. Anyway, so the word, they are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. So the word is our greatest possession. It says they're sweeter than honey from the comb. So the word is our greatest pleasure. There was nothing sweeter to them in those days, nothing more tasty than pure honey. And he's saying the word is like that. It's so sweet to our taste. It's so delicious. So the word is our greatest possession. Now it says the word is our greatest pleasure. And then in verse 11 it says, by them your servant is warned. In keeping them there is great reward. Listen to this. By them your servant is warned. It's our greatest protection. Psalm 119, I don't have it on the screen because I didn't have time to do it. I think it's 24 or 25. But it says, the word of God is my counselor. It protects me from making bad decisions, from saying bad things all the time. The word of God is our greatest protection. And then lastly, in verse 11, it says, in keeping them, there is great reward. And then the Bible says, honestly, the word of God is our greatest provision. So the word is our greatest possession, pleasure, protection, and provision. And then the last part here, I'm just going to read it through, and we'll close out in this because I've kept you a long time. But you guys did very, very well. These last verses, it just says in verse 12 to 14, if he speaks upward at the skies, right? If he's speaking through the skies, he's speaking, if I'm looking downward and he's speaking to me through the word, I can look inward and he's speaking to my heart. And you're going to see David, you know, in verse 12, who can discern their errors or forgive my hidden faults? Keep your servant from willful sins. God's speaking to me. He knows, keep me from willful sins. May they not rule over me. It's almost like a prayer. He's giving a prayer. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. And if you don't underline anything else, make this your prayer to the Lord. And we're going to end with this verse and then a song. Somebody wanted to come up and sing a song, Mr. Nate Weaver said. So they can come up and do that now. Get ready. But it says this in verse 14. It says, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Let that be all of our prayers today. May the words of my mouth, what I say, what I do, and the meditation of my heart, what's going on inside, be acceptable, be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. If you guys wouldn't mind, if you do a song or whatever, and then closing us out in prayer, I'll leave it up to you guys. Okay?
Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart
be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. O Lord. O Lord. O Lord. O Lord. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. All together now. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord.
O Lord.
O Lord.
O Lord.
O Lord. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord.
Lord, this is our prayer this morning, that the words of our mouth, meditation of our heart, be acceptable in thy sight. And this is only possible, Lord, if we have our hearts and our minds set upon you. We thank you, Lord, for your word this morning. We thank you, Lord, that your word is true. It's pure. It's proven. Converting the soul means we turn around from our own thoughts, our own ways. We decided, Lord, to go your way, committing our lives totally unto you, because that's the only sure path for our hearts and for our lives. So, Lord, thank you for your word this morning. And thank you, Lord, for taking your word and ministering it to our hearts. And as we're dismissed, Lord, we go, Lord, knowing that it's been good to have been in the house of the Lord. So, Lord, we give you thanks and we give you praise that we can walk in your word and live it. In Jesus' name, amen.